Excuse me.
Okay, I'm gonna mess around with some settings here. Just a minute. It's fall. What does that look like? Ugh, no, forget it. Okay. It's supposed to beautify. It's not working. Anywho. Yeah, I get started here in a moment. I was having my dinner. I just finished the workout. I closed the kids' bedroom door because they're supposed to be asleep. But as the saying goes, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So you can take the kids to bed, but you can't make them sleep. Hey, parents out there, if anyone of you is watching yet, have you had those white noise machines for your babies? Did they ever work? They never worked for my kids. Yeah. I'm trying to eat this bite without y'all seeing really me eat it. Whatever. Anyway, there's some settings here I haven't used before. But the screen got brighter. That's it? Okay. Alright, well, so long as it's not that bright. Anywho, getting some people tuning in. I called this video Evening Reflections. Because there's a lot of thoughts in here, as there typically tend to be. Just want to make sure I can hear me. Well, you guys can hear me, right? Because I'm using Bluetooth to y'all. So anyone that's watching, you can just chime in and just give a thumbs up emoji to let me know you can hear me. Then I'll just keep going. Otherwise, I'll assume it is, and I'll just keep talking anyway. And ultimately, I'll be talking to myself. Saludos, Wilfred. Okay. So I'm going to take that to mean I have permission to speak. So if you're just tuning in, I call this Evening Reflections. Like I said, there's a lot of thoughts that are spinning around in my head. Hello, Vance. All across the Pacific Ocean. Well, I know for a lot of people, it's an intense night. It's the eve that was inevitable, and we are here now. I know some people that are really concerned about tomorrow. They have anxiety. They can't sleep. They can't even look at the news. The point is that they have so much going for them, and I know, and me too, because I have until about 4:30 to make sure that direct deposit goes out for the payroll. Tomorrow is payroll for my office, so the ones I'm talking about are my employees, to make sure they turn in their timesheets on time so I can get them paid. Just a little bit of humor to help break the ice, because like I said, there's a lot that's spinning in my mind, and I guess the reflections that I wanted to put out there was to basically share with you all how we've come to believe things. Let me put it this way: there is more faith involved in political beliefs than there are in believing God, because some people will believe in lies, and it doesn't matter that you present them with the truth, because if it's the truth that they disagree with, they're not going to care. And that's the problem that we have in political discourse today, because it doesn't matter what the facts say. It doesn't matter that policies and programs have failed after decades of trying. They just didn't try hard enough. We just didn't tax enough to make sure we get over the edge. See, that's the problem, that people are set in their ways. So technically, you got to do a lot of convincing. It's kind of like pitching a sell to them. But now we've reached a point where Some people really, really don't care about the truth. They don't care for being moved from their mindset. And it's kind of like a cult mentality, because when you're in, if you're ever a part of a cult, you've been conditioned to believe in that regimen, in that routine, in the lies that they repeat to you over and over and over again, and condition to you to believe that. So the last thing you want is someone coming along the way and tell you that everything you knew was a lie. How do you cope with that? How do you cope with someone trying to show you a different perspective? Now, there are people that have the ability to be open to dialogue, be receptive of a different perspective on things, and hold a healthy conversation. But there are those that get antagonized, that get angry, and then they lash out. And it's sad that that we're actually seeing that in the form of political discourse, that we cannot have a conversation anymore. It's like, oh, you vote this way, then I'm gonna cut you out of my life. If cancel culture was so fantastic, why do we hate it? That's exactly what's happening. And this whole election thing is dividing us. And for anybody that thinks that it's gonna end once we get the results of the election, they're wrong. This is just gonna exacerbate it afterwards. Because one side, well, maybe both sides, I don't know. But we've reached a point of disagreement that we can no longer come back together. And for anybody that believes that we'll come back together as America, if the Democrats win, they're the ones that have been canceling us. They're the ones that have been villainizing anyone that disagrees with them. So how are they going to bring us together if they're the ones that have been dividing us? Oh, because it's Trump. So we'll just blame Trump. You can believe what you want, because that's what the media spoon feeds you. But you got to get red-pilled. And by that's a Matrix reference. Even one of the Matrix creators, one of the Wachowski siblings, because it's a they came out as trans, both of them, not too long ago. And because the Republicans have been using the red pill moniker or hashtags, like, wake up, people. Some people mean it to think that, oh, get red pill, become a Republican. No, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about wake up, take the red pill, see the world for what it really is. Don't believe in the lie that is the machine of the Matrix, where they create a reality that isn't so. So when you're talking about that, the Wachowski sibling got out and said, oh, the Matrix was a trans allegory. I know why she said that, so that it'll turn conservatives off from sharing red pill. Yeah, nice try. If that were true, you would have said that at the beginning of the trans movement, but you didn't, so nice try. The reality of things is like this. People like me have been called everything in the book. I've been called so many insults just because of what I believe in, both conservative and politically. Well, I'm gonna rephrase that because that sounds redundant. Both conservative and Christian. So, because of those two things, I have been labeled many, many things, and they're not agreeable to say the least. But this year, I can add even more titles to that. To the insults. In fact, I brought my phone here because this, I've been called a person that has a zero tolerance. Well, no, excuse me. I've been called a person that has no logic, no reason, intelligence, or compassion. On top of that, I've been called a cockroach, John Leguizamo. Why? Just because I think for myself? Yeah. No, there used to be a time that these things would offend me. I could tell you that the first names that, or the first insults that I gathered from there, it did hurt me when I was being called out. At first, I didn't think, are they talking about me or not? But as soon as I was purged from contacts, it just verified that I was one of those bad people. And what was the bad thing that I did? What did I do that was so evil? After almost a year of encouraging a relation and a friendship. Being there through the rough times, making times to encourage and just overall being supportive of someone's journey to achieve goals. What was the damning thing that I said that ended our blossoming friendship? All I said was, and this is un hispano hablando aquí, All I said was, I don't think you should be ashamed for being white. That was it. That was enough for me to be called a person of those names. And like I said, it did hurt me because I'm like, how could anyone conclude something so bad of me to say that? Uh-oh. Hold on. Okay, so I don't know if you can still hear me. These are my workout headphones. I just finished working out. So if anyone watching can give me a thumbs up if you can still hear me. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to end the video and start all over again. Well, start a new video. So, can you hear me? Done. People chiming in yet? Yeah? All right, I got the thumbs up. Thank you. Yes, they will call the bad good and the good bad. Exactly. I'm so glad you mentioned that because this is Wilfred chiming in. In the end times, yeah, unless you speak Chinese. Well, the Shoguan Mayo how whatever. I'm just piecing things together. Well, that's exactly what we face now in our country, where if you even try to reason with individuals, you can't. Not everything's a downer, okay? This year, it was nice to reconnect with old contacts that I haven't spoken to in years. Now, you could say that's because of the lockdowns. Like, okay, so I reached out to a lot of people. One of my favorite things that I did during the lockdown was just making time every single day to have literally tea, virtual tea with somebody and connect. And along those conversations, not only catch up, but also motivate and help people wherever I could personally. And it was a beautiful thing. I really enjoyed that, and I enjoy connecting with people. So when America literally went to hell with all the peaceful protests, there were some people that, for the first time ever, expressed their political beliefs. And it became an unsafe environment to even talk about politics. So I'm like, come on. Nobody's listening when everybody's screaming. So I devoted myself to reaching out individually to people for anyone that actually wanted to talk about the issues. And I must say, I've had some very cordial conversations with people I disagree with, and they disagree with me. But we actually had a conversation. But then there are those that are so hardwired that they don't want to hear anything, and they're part of the people that just shut me out of their lives. Look, anybody that knows me and that knows that's grown up around me, I'm the most political person they know. I am outspoken, I'm in your face, or used to be in your face. Just if you start a political argument with me, you better be sure I'm gonna end it because I will crush you with the facts. So that's where I come from. But I don't like doing that anymore because I don't want to just zing like, yeah, I got you. No, that's because then what does it do besides put you down? Like, you want to talk about an issue, you want to get to like the heart of things, fine, let's have a conversation. I had a very heated conversation with a dear friend. We saw on the opposite side of the riots and the protests. And I told him we both want the same goal, which is criminal reform. But the way we're trying to approach it was different. So we were disagreeing. It's like, dude, it's like Batman versus Superman here. Someone has to say Martha for us to stop? Come on, we want the same thing. So that's how I was able to bring some of that conversation full circle, you know? So as we head until tomorrow, I know there's going to be some of you that are losing sleep, some of you that are going through anxiety and pains or whatever. All I can say is this: I feel no different than I did 4 years ago. 4 years ago, people asked me, what is my assessment of this political sphere? What do I expect will happen? Who do I believe will win? And I said, I don't know who's going to win. All I can say is, if Hillary Clinton won, or in the context of me back then, right, I say, if Hillary Clinton wins, God's coming sooner. If Trump wins, it's God's mercy. And I was proven right. And I was not a Trump guy. Okay, I don't want to vote for him. Now, 4 years later, when people are asking me who I believe is gonna win, like, I don't know who's gonna win. So when they ask me, what do you expect from this? And I give the same answer. If Biden wins, God's coming sooner. If Trump wins, it's God's mercy. And some Christians would balk at that and say, why would Christians even vote for Trump? Those progressive Christians that believe that expression are not reading the same Bible I am, apparently. Unless they're only picking and choosing what they want. Look, it's not multiple choice. It's called the Ten Commandments. You don't pick and choose what you want. You either take the word for what it is, or you leave it. You don't just change it because, like, it doesn't fit with the times. There's some churches that actually believe this, where they say the Old Testament was, way back then. There's no room for it in the church today. And let me wave to somebody. They say the Old Testament's from the past. You don't have to worry about the Old Testament anymore. It's like, there's a lot of prophecies from the Old Testament that haven't come to pass yet. So I don't know what you're talking about. So like I said, you either take it as a whole, or you leave it. You can't claim to be a Christian and say, oh, I cannot vote for an immoral man like Trump. You're judging somebody based on his personality or his actions. Because there hasn't been a more conservative president than Trump. And that's saying something considering that we had Bush not too long ago, and before that, even Reagan. And Trump's done more for conservatism and Christianity than Trump. And what has Biden done? Just a few years ago, when he was vice president, sued nuns because they wouldn't pay for abortions. You were gonna force Orthodox Catholics who are against abortion to pay for abortions? And because they refused, you sued them? Holy smokes, man. And then you go around saying that, yo, of course Trump's a racist. Well, he must be the worst racist ever because record unemployment for Hispanics, record unemployment for blacks, criminal reform. What else can I say? Border security, not to mention human trafficking, that he's been cracking down on it. He actually was the first president to take the war to the Mara Salvatrucha. And if you're not Salvadoreño, you don't know who the Mara Salvatrucha is, you probably ran into them. They're the most notorious gang in the world. Well, I got someone else watching. Thank you for joining. So, people that are stuck in their ways, that are set in their ways, kind of a cult mentality. If you cannot sit down and have a conversation with somebody, if you cannot just sit and hear the other side because you're set in your ways, then you're part of a cult. That's literally what it comes down to. And it's sad because the cult mindset, and I'm going to reiterate this, the cult mindset is that if you are told something different than what you believe in, you reject it. And we have that conditioning right now of the mainstream media just continuously lying to people. They are literally implementing, and one of the Democratic candidates said that earlier during the primaries, said that we should keep repeating the lie. And this, I think it was one of the female candidates, Klobuchar. Don't quote me on that part, but she did not realize she was inadvertently quoting Joseph Goebbels, the master propagandist who said, repeat a lie enough times, it'll become the truth. And who was Joseph Goebbels? The propaganda machine for Nazi Germany under der Führer Hitler. So when people say that our democracy is the one that's at stake, let me get this straight. We have one party that's interested in changing the way the Supreme Court is structured because they don't like that it didn't go their way. We have one party that is interested in removing the filibuster to change the way the Senate rules on things. We have one party that's interested in removing protections in the Bill of Rights, aka the First and Second Amendment, because they don't like them. But it's the other party that wants to do away with our democracy? This might be news to you. We're a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. We happen to be a constitutional republic that practices democratic practices. And let's not forget, we have one party that's interested in getting rid of the Electoral College. So if anyone's out there that's spouting lies, all you gotta do is just weigh it against, like, okay, what exactly are you doing? Forget the words. What are the actions? I don't share this on other platforms anymore because, what's their names? The big tech giants have successfully silenced me, which is unfortunate. And as we've gotten closer to election day, which is tomorrow, the algorithms have been very, very disappointing that it's a trickle. Look, I'm going to show you right now. Oh, I don't want you to see names though, but I want to show you an example of what I'm talking about in activity. Maybe I can block out some of the names. This is analytics. This is business stuff for those of us that use analytics to try to expand our business. Okay, my last post. Maybe I could hide it. Post cannot be promoted. No, I'm not trying to. There we go. All right. Okay. These are my Instagram stories. Okay. These are called analytics. And if you can see, that's 15. 15 is about the average I get in the past 2 weeks leading up to the election. And I'm not even posting anything considerably political. I haven't, unless they're docking me for or doxing me for the proposition stuff. But look, these algorithms, I was averaging 100, so I'm getting what, 1% of what I used to get for traffic. YouTube, same thing. I've been throttled on YouTube. Twitter, screw Twitter. I deleted that. I've been blocked, banned, shadow banned in Twitter. So I'm like, why am I even bothering? The same post that I share the story on Instagram and it automatically goes to my Facebook story. Get this, the same post. Let me go to my profile. This is Parler. Some of you might have heard what Parler is. Some of you might recognize this. This is one of the posts that I posted earlier today on my Instagram story. It was the first one, the comedic calendar I put up. Now, just to give you an example of what I'm referring to, Instagram. This is the analytics. That's the same post, the calendar, 28. Okay? 28. And I use hashtags. So now let's go to Parler. One, you can't really see it. It's 109. Wow, that's like what? I can't do math right now. I'm tired. But that's at least three times more. I got another viewer. Hello. So at least three times more people checking out my post on not one of the big tech giants. I used to get at least 100 people on average checking out my stuff on my socials, on average of everything. But when I got throttled on YouTube, I got throttled on Facebook, Instagram, and that's after paying money for the advertising. That's supposed to be how they make money. So why was I not reaching people? Because they didn't want me to expand my reach. But when I, as soon as I go to Parler, one of my most popular posts has over 2,000 hits. I'm like, whoa. So people do tune in to my stuff if they're not being controlled by someone that doesn't agree with maybe what I believe. And you know what? That's okay. Well, let me take that back. It's not okay, but it's okay that people can disagree. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay for a company to say that they encourage dialogue and then shut you up. It's not okay for Jack Dorsey to go on the Senate panel and say that, oh, they all they gotta do is remove their tweet, the tweet, and then they could put the tweet back on. That's not it, look, for anybody that saw that Senate exchange, what Jack Dorsey was basically saying is delete the tweet that activated the algorithm for other people to pick it up, kill the story, and post it again. Because if Twitter manually takes it down, they are automatically at fault for violating Section 203 of the Penal Code when it comes to how these big techs operate. Look, if I wanted to post in the New York Times, and the New York Times, which is a huge leftist a newspaper, and I send them a story for my opinion, and they don't like it, and they refuse to print it, they have every right to do so. And that's okay. I know that going in. The New York Times editor can say, we don't like this one, we're not going to publish it. That's okay, because they are a publisher and become responsible. They become responsible for someone's opinion, whether it's a good or bad opinion. Because if someone says, hey, what you said insulted my family, I'm going to sue you if you don't take it back, that's very possible because it happened before to newspapers. News needs to be responsible for the misinformation they put out. Like a lot of the riots and the protesting and all that stuff that's been happening, I don't blame entirely the leftist groups that have been doing this. I blame the media, and no one's been holding them accountable. The media needs to be the one paying reparations to all the businesses that have lost their livelihoods because of that. They're the ones that have been spreading all the misinformation. But no, we have to blame the memes. We have to blame conservatives like me that because we disagree, we're the ones spreading the hate or Russian robots. You guys are the ones getting all the views, and you guys control freaking Hollywood. But whatever. Now, if I want to share an opinion and I'm going to a platform like Facebook or Twitter and Instagram, well, Instagram is Facebook, so, and I want to share it there, technically, Facebook and Twitter cannot stop me. They cannot block me according to how they operate because they're not a publisher. But then Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg goes on a few weeks ago and says, oh, we're a publisher, so we're gonna dox whatever we want. They're like, wait, what? You just said that you're not a publisher, but now you're acting like one? That's the problem for why we cannot get our voice out there to have a discourse. What is so offensive about having a different perspective on things? If we are trying to be Americans united together to reach a common goal, which is the betterment for our neighbors and ourselves, why can't we share those ideas and reach a common goal? Why is it only one way or no way? That's not bipartisanship. It's a sad, sad decay of where we are in the state of our union. This is not the presidential stuff. This is at the level of that impacts you the most. And look, for those of you that are anxious about tomorrow, one way or another, I already put up a video on my website to talk about what I anticipate was going to happen. Because guess who predicted back in March the lockdown calamity, the power grab from the states, the blue states, and the riots? I called it specifically. That was me. That was back in March, March 15th, I think. That's when I said it. So, whoa. Okay. So then I'm like, okay, fine, I'll tell you what I'm expecting for the what's this thing? The election. But people that live and breathe what news comes out of the White House, oh my goodness, if you only paid attention to what happens in your own state, in your own county, in your own city, that's what affects you the most. The most important election are the local levels that you continuously ignore. And when you go check out a ballot, this is the president I'm voting for. And then you have this long list of things to vote for. It's like, what the flip is this? That's why I've done a proposition guide for the past. I've been doing proposition guides since 2004 because people are not paying attention to what's happening. We have California that's ruled by a single party. Literally, we have the most leftist governor. We have a super liberal majority in the state senate. We have a super liberal majority in the state assembly. There's no one to stop them. You know, and look, this is one of the craziest things that happened during the lockdown, okay? Besides the governor doing executive orders, that the very thing that the left has complained that Trump did, that's all that Gavin Newsom's been doing. And you know what happened today? The state Supreme Court removed that power from the governor because it says you are overreaching, you can't do that anymore. That doesn't mean the lockdown's gonna end. All that means is they're finally like, yeah, yes, doable, Gavin Newsom, yes, doable, you can't do that anymore. Put the pen down. But here's what happened. I think it's SB 45. SB 45, if I'm not mistaken, because SB means Senate bill. I don't think it was an AB. AB is Assembly bill. It had to be a Senate bill because it was put forth by Scott Wiener, this LGBTQ senator from San Francisco. And what he put forth was I gotta be careful with my wording here before Facebook shuts me down. I'm serious. This is it could shut me down. They had he proposed a rule that relaxed relations between grown adults and children. So long as they're like about 10 years apart, he was decriminalizing that because his argument was that it's discriminatory towards gay men. I thought that you guys didn't go for the underage, but this was a literal bill that he introduced. Now, guess what happened? They blocked every single Republican from voting. So no Republican got to vote on this thing. It was only the Senate Democrats in the state of California. And even the Democrats were like, what is this? What are we voting for? And guess what? The majority of Senate state Democrats voted in favor of this rule, decriminalizing penalties for anyone behaving in those relations. And then the governor, Gavin Newsom, signed it into law. I have three kids. And the Democrat senator that represents the San Diego district was like, are you kidding me? How did this happen? It's California. It doesn't surprise me. So when I tell you that if you're only concerned about the federal election, you don't care. You really don't care about what's happening around you that affects you every single day, that affects your wallet, that affects your schools nearby, especially you're raising your kids, your property if you're intending to raise a family or enjoy a home of your own. The power grab of California this year, especially because of health emergency, has been nothing short of egregious. And when we still can't reopen churches to a certain capacity, even by CDC guidelines, but you can go protest in the hundreds of thousands in the streets and then commit riots and felonies and murders and literally raping on the streets. You can do all that because it's racial injustice, it's a health emergency. What the? But God forbid you're John MacArthur and you open a church, and like you gotta arrest that man. And you know what? The police said no, we're not gonna do that. Now here's one thing you might not know. And the reason you might not know is because you're not subscribed to my YouTube channel. Okay, I'm going to leave you with this last thing for you to reflect on. What is really at stake at the local levels? For those of you that live in California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and I think it's Colorado, are you familiar with the Western States Pact? Have you even heard of the Western States Pact before Andrés Segovia told you so? You don't know what this is, do you? It's been in action for the past few months. You only heard a little bit about it in the form of contact tracing. But what is the Western States Pact overall? And if this feed cuts off, because Facebook doesn't want you to know, but it's actually on YouTube. I talk about it. I did three videos about the Western States Pact and contact tracing. You can check out there. So you can find my YouTube channel at The Andres Segovia, and you can find all you need to know about it. Western States Pact is contact tracing and controlling you. The health departments, particularly in Ventura County, and this is in California, were given authority to go door to door to be checking people's homes. And if they found anybody positive for the virus from the place we cannot mention, they would then determine whether that individual can stay in the home or be relocated to some federal housing. Federal housing? What the hell are you talking about? Exactly. And that's what they've been doing. And they were hiring hundreds of contact tracers. When the lockdowns happened, California, because the most mismanaged state in the union, ridiculous, there was the budget shortfall. So California, along with these other states that formed the Western States Pact, it started with California, Washington, and I believe it was Nevada before Oregon and Colorado joined in. They joined in, and what they ended up saying, yes, from that one place, thank you. And they ended up saying this: we need $1 trillion federal assistance money in order for us to be able to get through the lockdowns, to do the unemployment checks and all that. Guess what? People never got their unemployment checks. EDD, the employment division, whatever, I forget what it's called. I should know this, I'm an employer. But the EDD had to be pushed by a local Republican senator from my district in order to get the money of unemployment to the people. But the money wasn't being used for the unemployment checks. You know what it was being used for? To hire hundreds of contact tracers to be going door to door to judge if your place is fit for you to quarantine. And if you aren't fit to quarantine, they will relocate you to any federal housing or a state housing of their choosing. How is that not like the Gestapo going door to door, taking you out of your home and putting you somewhere else? And as of today, you know who else is implementing that to the worst extreme? If you want to point, like say, oh my goodness, Trump has an overreach of power, look at Gretchen Whitmer in Wisconsin or Michigan. Oh my goodness, I'm getting a brain fart here. Look at what she's doing, usurping the power of the state Supreme Court, going against the legislature, going against local counties and orders, and installing contact tracing everywhere that is not even spreading the virus. Nothing of what she's doing makes any sense. She's even going against her own health department's recommendations. But why don't you hear about this? Is it because she was actually in contention to be the vice presidential nominee for the Democrat Party? Or because she has presidential aspirations? Folks, this stuff is crazy. You guys don't hear about it because the media doesn't let you. And I'm saying this now, right now, for you to understand a lot of the stuff that you're not aware of. And if you are in the know, if you already vote, I'm sure a lot of you that are watching this have already voted, but which is a good thing if you voted early. But for you to understand how much you've been lied to repeatedly over and over and over again, to believe in whatever is expected to be believed to be tomorrow. Now, what the media is saying is this: with all the major cities boarding up, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C. has been boarded up since the weekend because the election protest. You do not board up for a protest, you board up for a riot. And who are they blaming? Oh, the Trump supporters are going to come out as soon as Biden wins. We have 5.5 months of data to show you that the only ones that have been protesting, pillaging, and rioting have been radical leftists. You know what's really sad? That a few people, including myself, we geared up. We geared up to defend ourselves. You think we like feeling that? That is so sad. This is the United States, man. Just because of an election, if you find yourself having trouble because of who's sitting in office, if you really are disturbed by whoever's in office, you've given that power to them. Oh, he said this on Twitter. Oh, and then Twitter's not a safe space for you. Stay away from it. Look, if you really are bothered by opinions, become a lion. Some things get to me sometimes. One of the biggest insults was levied at me last week. This is kind of a tech joke too. I need to soften the tension here. Someone called me an Apple fanboy. Okay, I'm wearing an Apple Watch because I used it for working out, but I'm wearing a Samsung watch daily. I'm using a Samsung Note 10. I've been using the Samsung Note line for since the 5. I'm filming this through a Samsung Galaxy Tab S7. I have a secondary phone that's a Microsoft Surface Duo, all Android. But all because I reviewed this tablet and I actually brought out my old iPad to compare sizes. I'm an Apple fanboy? Yeah, that's insulting. It's like, wow, man, you don't know Jack. I have 10 years worth of videos for you to check out to know that I'm farthest thing from Apple. Yeah, I take that personally. Very personally, so. Ay, 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 qué cosa eso, man. That's just me soaking up the tension here, folks. But yeah, the sad reality of things are that we find ourselves in that position where it's like sticking stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, words are hurting people all the time. Like, ah, oh, that's why the keyboard warriors are out there in full force. Hey, look, I learned to be a lion, and I'm gonna borrow an awesome phrase from a show that didn't end well, Game of Thrones. Tywin Lannister said, "A lion does not concern itself with the opinions of a sheep." And that's what people have become. One radio host that's no longer on the air, he once said, "The American sheeple." That was like 15 years ago. And when I heard him say the American sheeple, I'm like, why does he say American sheeple? It's like, well, because the sheep are guided by the pastor. So they're listening to whoever's they're following, because sheep are so gullible. So when he said American sheeple, he was talking about how the media propaganda machine, and this was back then, was guiding people a different way. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And now I see it in full force. But the reality of things is, I've been involved in political commentary and discussion and discourse for 17 years. I've been predicting this moment for the longest time. I'm hoping I'm wrong. What happens tomorrow? Well, actually, not even tomorrow, because some states are going to keep counting until after Election Day. But the point is, when the results finally come in, it doesn't matter. Someone's going to challenge the results, so this thing will be dragged out even longer. The point ultimately is, what will happen to us as people? There's a guy that his name is Matt Walsh. He spoke my mind when I, because I've been saying this for a long time. I've been saying that America is on the verge of civil war for the longest time. And I've been talking about it since 2013. I mean, 2003, spring 2003. I said, I can see civil war coming. And that was way back then. And it's all the worse now. But what this guy, Matt Walsh, said, the difference is that should we go down this road, if we get to that point where Americans are at each other's throats, it'll not be like it was back in 1861. Because in 1861, it was divided. The North became the United States of America, or stayed the United States of America. The South became the Confederate States of America. So you had defined battle lines. But now it's not like that. You cannot say, if you look at a map and say, okay, well, which state's going to be part of its own country and go to war against someone else? It's not like that. No. The people are amongst each other. So this will be different. Some people are fighting it within their own households. Today, a lot of talk about how some people are cutting people out of their lives because they can't believe they support Trump. How does that not sound like religion to you? I even said it. I was arguing with an anti-war activist professor when I was my first semester in college, and we had this discussion. And I told her, I don't see politics any different than religion. You have a code that you follow, a routine, a thing that you do, and your God is the government. And she started laughing. This is a very left-wing person. And she said, Andres, you are so right. You should do an essay about that. Like, I didn't think about it. That was the end of the semester, so I couldn't. But that was me finally putting my brain to use. Here's a plug-in for my show, by the way. My off the record at www.theandresegovia.com. You can check it out there. It's free for everybody. I actually did the reading corner where I go over some books that I do this once a month on a Sunday. And I talk about books. And the past two Critic Corner, I mean the Soundtrack Corner episode. Oh my goodness, those are all the other shows. The Reading Corner. I didn't mean it to be that way, but it tied nicely with what's happening today. So I give expanded commentary as to how I got into politics in all of this. I was going to run for city council in Anaheim, and I was talked out of it because I was an idealist. But the community liked what I had to say because era hispano y estaba hablando por la comunidad. I was speaking for the community. I was standing up to our Congress lady. Because she was not representing us. And you know what ultimately happened to that Congress lady? Disgraced. All she wanted was a springboard to the next step. She used her congressional level after serving at the local level. She went to the Congress, and then from there she ran for state for this for the Senate, United States Senate, and lost against Kamala Harris, the last election cycle 2 years ago. And Kamala Harris, the past 2 years, has done nothing and is now the VP for Biden. Okay, well, she was disgraced, and now she's running for local office again. And last week she was filmed illegally taking down her opponent's signs. And then she has the audacity to go on Facebook and say she was reorganizing the signs nicely. She hates it when people take signs down. Well, guess what? Someone recorded the whole thing and posted it on Facebook too. So she got called out. This is the woman I confronted in person. He said, what are you going to do to represent us? Because everything you've done has not been for our service. It's only been for brownie points somewhere else. Well, I was talked out of the city council because I was an idealist. And at the time, it was hard to go against the money of the mouse. And by the mouse, I mean Disney. Since then, Disney's influence has been relaxed a lot because the people around here have voted more left. Anyway, I didn't run for city council this time. I'm still considering it. But I am in consideration. I'm in a short list for the Citizens Police Review Board for Anaheim. So, never know. They're going to be doing a background investigation on me and everything. Once if they like my application and like what they see, and they'll consider me. It's all right, because I do want to serve my community of Anaheim. I want to help people. And that's what I mean, that the local level is the most important thing. So if you let the federal stuff control you, if this is the stuff that keeps you awake at night, you're focusing on the wrong things. Because the ones that affect you on your day-to-day are the very things you don't pay attention to. You don't pay attention to the laws that continuously rob you of your earnings. You don't pay attention to the laws that are actually going to take away your rights to own your own home. That's exactly what's happening in California. And other laws that will remove benefits that you can have with your kids. That's another law that we're fighting right now in propositions. That's not the federal level, folks. That's the state level. Not to mention, if you want to fight racial injustice, that happens at the local level, not the federal level. Every state has its own rights under the 10th Amendment. It's called states' rights. And people neglect the power of that. So I hope people wake up. This video I'm not saving. So if you got to see it, great. Thank you for watching this video. I'm not saving this video. This is the only chance you got to see it. So for those of you that participated, thank you. For those of you that watched from the beginning, even bigger thank you for listening to me rant. I'm thinking about possibly doing this again tomorrow while I exercise, though, because I know there's some people that that would like to help pass the time, especially with their anxieties and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. So I'll pray about it and see what happens. But until then, if you find yourself near or in a major metropolitan area in a blue state, limit your travel tomorrow. Be careful. And just, well, what else can we do? But for those of you that pray, pray. Pray for the safety of all Americans. And that's it. Thank you so much for watching. Have a good night.